Hello, I'm Jennifer Kaplan with the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency's Office of Inspector General, here with Dr. Bruce Woods, a chemist in the Electronic Crimes Division within the OIG's Office of Investigations. Bruce is based in Seattle, Washington, and he recently conducted a webinar for the Association of Public Health Laboratories on lab fraud, which he is also here to discuss today. Bruce, welcome.
Thank you for inviting me to talk about an important topic.
Let's start by defining scientific integrity. What do we mean by that term?
Laboratories are expected to produce reliable and accurate data of known and documented quality. Important decisions are made based on lab data. The EPA defines scientific integrity as resulting from adherence to professional values and practices when conducting and applying the results of science and scholarship. Scientific integrity ensures objectivity, clarity, reproducibility, and utility of data. It is important because it provides insulation from bias, fabrication, falsification, plagiarism, outside interference, censorship, and finally, inadequate procedural and information security.
And obviously, lab fraud undermines the objective of scientific integrity. But why does the EPA Office of Inspector General get involved with lab fraud? What's our role?
As an independent oversight office, part of the OIG's mission is to conduct audits and investigations into fraud, waste, and abuse within the EPA. Fraud can take many forms and sometimes happens in the laboratory, something most people probably don't think about. In the end, the OIG's work is aimed at improving environmental quality and human health.
Bruce, I think it's important to point out that lab fraud can negatively impact everyone's daily life. It's not an abstract or even rare occurrence. Can you give us some examples?
Sure. Lab fraud potentially could result in contaminated drinking water, pharmaceuticals that don't do what they're supposed to or have unknown side effects, or faulty drug testing. The gas we pump into our vehicles might not have the correct level of oxygenated compounds to help reduce pollution from car exhaust. When a building is constructed, the concrete and steel are tested. If these don't meet the builder's specification, will the building last as long as it was designed to last, or will it fall down in an earthquake or windstorm? The food we eat could be adulterated or mislabeled so that we pay more for it than we should. In the bigger picture, lab fraud isn't just an environmental problem. It cuts across all fields and could, as you just pointed out, Jennifer, impact people in their personal lives.
How do the OIG's investigators go about making a determination of lab fraud?
Well, there are five elements of fraud, which could be articulated in a single sentence. A representation is made about a material point, which is intentionally false, and which is believed and acted upon to the victim's damage.
That's a lot of information to take in. Can you please repeat that sentence?
Yes, but let's do it in a stepwise fashion. One, a representation is made about a material point. It has to be something that is significant or important. Two, which is intentionally false. The researcher lied about what he or she told us or provided us. And three, which is believed. Someone believed a lie. And four, the false information was acted upon. And five, the victim was damaged. Often the victim paid for something but did not get what he or she paid for. So one more time very quickly. A researcher intentionally communicates a false finding or fudges the data, which someone else believes that the data are true and correct, and acts upon that information, and consequently that party incurs damage. He or she pays for something which is not what he or she asked for or ordered. That's fraud. Or, as my former supervisor liked to say, it's lying, cheating, and stealing.
Thank you, Bruce. Talking specifically about EPA now, what are the scientific integrity concerns?
Well, first, there is a question of whether the agency is making correct decisions for environmental compliance and hazardous site cleanups. Sound decision-making depends on accurate and reliable data. The best-case scenario is that it comes to light the data are falsified. When that happens, the research process has to start over. Resampling and reanalysis are expensive, and there can be tremendous waste of time involved, too. If falsified data are entered into EPA databases, there can be real-world repercussions. For example, if the information in EPA's databases is not accurate or is underreported, then permits for new sources of pollution could be justified because of falsified data. But the ecosystem is overloaded and can't handle the extra pollution from a new permitted source, or if the data are reported higher than true, we might not be able to justify a new permitted pollution source. which then impacts economic development and jobs in an area. Underreporting of data about hazardous waste sites can lead to exposure of people and the environment, while overreporting may lead to wasting money at a site to clean up contamination that does not exist. On another front, the EPA awards grants for new innovative research. If research results are plagiarized, they're not only useless, they're misleading.
Why do some researchers commit fraud? What's in it for them?
The incentive often is monetary gain, but a lot of analysts cheat as a means of passing quality control criteria in analytical methods. There are a lot of different ways to commit fraud. It can be a matter of taking shortcuts or deviating from standard operating procedures, or fraud can involve fudging measurements. Sometimes researchers hide known or potential problems to make data look better than it really is. Or analytical and quality assurance results are falsified to make failed method and contractual requirements appear acceptable.
When OIG investigators find lab fraud, what happens next?
Criminal cases are presented to the U.S. Department of Justice, which makes a determination about whether or not to prosecute. Lab fraud typically falls under a few federal criminal statutes. Those involve mail fraud, wire fraud, false statements, conspiracy to defraud, concealment of a felony, false claims, and obstruction of justice. Each of the statutes carries penalties involving prison time and hefty fines.
Okay. Say I work in a lab that is the recipient of an EPA grant and I suspect fraud. Or maybe I have knowledge of contract fraud by a lab. How can I report it?
Contact the EPA OIG's hotline. Call us toll-free at 888-546-8740. Or drop a letter in the U.S. mail, email us, fax us. There are multiple ways to contact the hotline. And all of that information is available on the EPA OIG's website at www.epa.gov/OIG. Anyone who has a concern specifically about plagiarism should contact the EPA's scientific integrity official.
What about the labs themselves? For a lab, reputation is everything. How can a lab protect itself against bad actors in its midst?
There are a number of things labs can do to protect against fraud. The first thing is to have in place a strong quality system with a proactive quality assurance manager. Labs need to maintain organizational data integrity policies and procedures. They must provide ongoing ethics training to their staff and conduct periodic internal audits. Labs also can conduct analysis of proficiency testing samples, regularly inspect their electronic files, and most of all, be vigilant to red flags. Red flags can be odd, unwarranted manipulations in research or failure to follow procedures. They can be dates and times that don't match up or perfect quality control charts, which aren't realistic. If something doesn't look right, it probably isn't. These are the things investigators look for, and labs should do the same to protect themselves.
Dr. Bruce Woods, this has been an enlightening conversation about scientific integrity and lab fraud. Again, thank you for sharing your knowledge and tips for our listeners.
You're welcome, Jennifer. I'm glad to do it.
One more time for our listeners. To learn more about the EPA Office of Inspector General's work, please visit www.epa.gov/OIG. Complete contact information for the EPA OIG, including our hotline, is available there as well. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at EPA OIG.